from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the Bay Area woman accusing him of sexual assault, Christine Blasey Ford, will both testify publicly Monday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. We'll get the latest. And then at 9:30, the Millennium Tower's structural integrity is in question yet again after a cracked window was discovered on the 36th floor earlier this month. We'll discuss what this crack window could mean and what's next for San Francisco's sinking skyscraper. That's next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the Bay Area woman accusing him of sexual assault, Christine Blasey Ford, had been set to testify on Monday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. But now it appears that Ford's lawyer has not yet confirmed this with the committee. And the committee had planned to vote on Kavanaugh's nomination on Thursday, but lawmakers from both parties called for a delay in order to hear from the nominee and his accuser. We'll get the latest in the Senate battle over Kavanaugh's nomination, and we want to hear from you. You can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum at kqed.org. I want to welcome Jessica Levinson, professor of law from Loyola Law School. Professor Levinson, good to have you back with us on Forum. Welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I guess the place to begin is with this latest news. There seems to be a holdup, and I guess at this point we can only surmise what that might mean. But let's assume that everything moves forward, and this is something that's in action as we speak here. But we'll try to, of course, keep you up to date on the latest news. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about actually the Judiciary Committee's moving forward on this. By that, I mean there's going to be questioning, and there are big questions that loom over the questioning. Who's going to direct the questioning, and how are those questions going to be directed? But it seems like what we're going to have is maybe a he said, she said, and perhaps just a spectacle of sorts, a circus.
Unfortunately, I think that this will just continue the circus that we've seen throughout the hearings. So the hearings are largely a circus in the sense that Judge Kavanaugh's role with respect to the first hearings was essentially to admit only to the fact that his name was Brett Kavanaugh and that he's a judge on the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is to say the whole kind of point of these hearings is to convey nothing. And I think the spectacle now is continuing because we're in the Me Too movement, and the senators on both sides of the aisle realize that they cannot go back to their constituents and say, we didn't take Professor Ford's accusation seriously. And so they need to at least say, we gave a full and fair airing to all of her accusations. I think ultimately, this doesn't change the outcome. I think Judge Kavanaugh becomes Justice Kavanaugh. But I think the power of the Me Too movement is to force the Senate Judiciary's hand and to force them to say, you need to have testimony from both of these individuals.
That's Jessica Levinson, professor of law at Loyola Law School. And we'll go back to Professor Levinson and get more of her thoughts. But first, we're going to update you. And Tamara Keith is with us from National Public Radio, who's been actually following the latest up-to-date responses on this that I alluded to before. Tamara, good to have you back with us. Welcome.
Glad to be with you.
I guess at this point, things are held up because the lawyer has not responded to Senator Grassley.
Well, Senator Grassley is moving ahead on the assumption that eventually that he will get a response. But what he is saying is that that committee staff reached out to Ford's lawyer multiple times via email over the last 36 hours and that they haven't heard back yet. That said, he is saying that he expects that there will be two witnesses at the hearing on Monday. That would be Professor Ford and Judge Kavanaugh.
And do we know who's going to be asking the questions? There's been talk about bringing in others than those on the Judiciary Committee.
Right. Grassley was on Hugh Hewitt's talk show earlier today. Hewitt is a conservative talk radio host, and he asked Grassley about that. And what Grassley said is that they really haven't figured it out yet. There was a question of, well, will senators get one or two rounds of questions? Grassley said they hadn't figured that out. Would there potentially be someone from the outside coming in, like perhaps former Senator Kelly Ayotte is somebody who's been discussed? She is a Republican woman from New Hampshire. And Grassley said that's something we're thinking about, too. So at this point, it's not clear. I think much of that is to be negotiated between Senator Feinstein and Senator Grassley.
And the FBI's role in this is now what?
Well, so Democrats really want the FBI to fully investigate this accusation. But the Justice Department put out a statement, the Trump administration Justice Department put out a statement saying that the FBI is done. The FBI received the letter that Dr. Ford sent in and added that to Kavanaugh's file, to his background file, and they say that they're done, that that's it, and that there's no judgment that is to be made by the FBI. That is left to the senators.
And we just got word that Senator Feinstein is calling for other witnesses to testify. What do we know about that? Do they allow to testify?
So what we know is that Feinstein has put out a statement. She says that there's one particular witness that a number of Democratic senators have talked about, a man named Mark Judge. He's a friend of Kavanaugh's who allegedly was there in the room when this alleged incident happened some 36 years ago. Judge, in one publication, said he has no memory of the incident. Feinstein is saying that she'd like to have Judge testify, Mark Judge, also suggesting other people who were previously told about the incident, potential basically corroborating witnesses, or even experts on trauma. But at this point, Grassley, in that interview with Hugh Hewitt, was pretty firm, saying he only wants two witnesses. He has no interest in hearing from anyone other than Judge and Kavanaugh.
Yeah, well, we should also mention
Kavanaugh. I'm sorry.
Lindsey Graham has said that there's no reason to have Mark Judge, the person who is alleged again to have been with Kavanaugh and Ford, appear. Quote, he's already said what he's going to say. I want to hear from her if she wants to speak, and I want to hear from him. In other words, trying to maneuver this so that there are no other witnesses brought into this. Tamara, thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you with us this morning.
So glad to be with you. Have a good one.
That's Tamara Keith of NPR, and Jessica Levinson, professor of law, is with us by phone from Loyola Law School. How long can this be held up, do you think, Professor Levinson?
Well, it can be held up for quite a while, but any day, week, or month that this is held up, I think, is a loss for Republicans. I mean, they really want Judge Kavanaugh to become Justice Kavanaugh as quickly as possible. They want him seated, if at all possible, by the October hearing. So for the first day of the term, he's there. Now, that is a very, very quick timeline, and I don't think that that's realistic, but I think that they would love to have him by Halloween. And so the longer this drags out, the longer it's in the news, the longer we're hearing the words Judge Kavanaugh and accusations of sexual assault in the same sentence, I think the longer it becomes problematic for Republicans. They do not want to continue to have this conversation as we approach the midterms.
I
think they're really looking.
I'm sorry, please.
So I think they're really looking at two timelines. The one, they're looking at the legal timeline of wanting to ensure that Judge Kavanaugh is there, seated to hear all the cases that he can this term. But I think they're also obviously looking at the political timeline, and they're saying we don't want this in the news as people are starting to get their ballots for the midterm election.
Yeah, I think November is very much on their minds in the midterms. It's fascinating to realize that President Trump has been totally restrained on this and measured and said there should be a full hearing. And also, this is a president who's been accused, we should say, of sexual assault himself. But I want to hear from you, our listeners, and we do want to hear your thoughts on this and certainly any legal questions you have for Professor Jessica Levinson, who's with us. And do want to hear what you're essentially thinking will happen, might happen, or should happen. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and you can join us now at that number. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. There's also a sense of at this point, Professor Levinson, how this thing is going to move forward on, as you've indicated, on a political trajectory, particularly given the fact that you have people like Mitch McConnell, who presumably maybe has let it be known that Brett Kavanaugh was not necessarily his first choice. They may just go down the list of those recommended by the Federalist Society to the next one. But in all likelihood, the smart money seems to be saying at this point there's going to be a confirmation because there's nothing that can be proven about this sexual assault charge. There's a polygraph. There's a lot of evidence that certainly stacks up in terms of people who have come to her defense. But there's also a number of women who have come to Judge Kavanaugh's defense, including women he knew in high school, women he's worked with as a judge.
Right. Well, I mean, I do think it's important to remember that just because other women say he's a very nice person, we never could imagine that he would do this, doesn't mean that he didn't do this. And just because one person accuses you of sexual assault without additional corroboration, of course, doesn't mean that you did it. And so this is a kind of a classic problem of, in the sense that when accusations come so far in the past, it's difficult to have what you want to have, which is you want to have eyewitness testimony, you want to have evidence that she spoke to someone right away or spoke to more than one person and said, this happened to me. You'd like to have some sort of clear documentary evidence. But I think that one thing you mentioned, which is so important in terms of going down the list of the Federalist Society, is that if Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is torpedoed, which I ultimately don't think it will be, I think it's important to remember it's still going to be a Republican president, President Trump, who picks the new nominee. And I think whether it's before or after the midterms, in all likelihood, it will still be a Republican-controlled Senate who votes on that nominee. So the choice is not between Brett Kavanaugh and a moderate or a liberal. The choice is between Brett Kavanaugh and, as you said, who's next on the list that's been vetted by White House counsel Don McGahn and the Federalist Society, who's largely providing the list of federal judicial nominees.
Sorry, please finish your thought.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to... please finish your thought.
I think it's important for us to remember that people who really want Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to end, that what we're looking at is a political push to get somebody not who's moderate, but to get somebody likely who's conservative, but less conservative on the issue of executive power. I think that's largely where people find Judge Kavanaugh to be outside of the mainstream of conservative thought. A lot of people, of course, talk about Roe v. Wade as being incredibly important. And there's no question that this is incredibly important on both sides. But in terms of who the new nominee will be, I think they will hold views that are very similar to Judge Kavanaugh. The big issue to look for, if there is another nominee, is whether they have a different view of executive power.
Again, we're talking with Jessica Levinson, professor of law from Loyola Law School. And let's bring our listeners in and begin with Susan. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm wondering why this guy Kavanaugh isn't going to lie again. He's already lied under oath. He's proven he doesn't have moral character. He jacked up hundreds of thousands of bills in sports debt like a grown-up high school kid already. This hearing should be as wide and broad as possible with as many witnesses and as much evidence as possible because he's only going to lie. He's already done that under oath. This is one reason why I'm against him as a Supreme Court justice. He's lied under oath. He has no moral foundation. This Grassley should not have the power to determine only two people are in this hearing. It should be as wide and broad as possible. Witnesses, evidence, everything that's possible. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. I thank you for that comment. And we will actually go to another caller and hear what this caller has to say. Ken, join us. You're on, Ken.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning. Question. So the investigation or this testimony is about physical assault and action. And we want to know what's in this man's head, and does this investigation make it more likely that the amazingly voluminous withheld documents would be revealed? I'm
sorry, Ken, you're breaking up here, but a couple questions here that are hovering over this discussion, and I'm going to go back to Professor Levinson. One is Ken's question about physical assault and how much that can be proven and to what degree the court of public opinion perhaps plays into this, because that will be certainly a deciding factor in terms of not only the midterms in November, but the way this is going to be played out. But what about the first caller was talking about lies and prevarications by Judge Kavanaugh. He's on the record as saying flatly declared that this did not happen. And he's had support from somebody like Senator Orrin Hatch, who somehow has come to the fore here saying, I know it didn't happen. I'm not sure how he knows that. But there's Judge Kavanaugh on the record saying it did not happen, and Judge Kavanaugh being essentially charged with physical assault and with other lying under oath. Your thoughts, Professor Levinson?
Yeah, so there's two different things that I think we need to tackle, as you said. It's the accusations of sexual assault, and those, when it's distant in time, when it happened a long time ago, those are notoriously hard to prove. And this is very difficult for victims who decide after years that it's important to come forward, because of what we talked about in the beginning, is that it can be a largely he said, she said, and we're already seeing questioning of the alleged victim here. We're already seeing, you know, was she drunk? Are we sure that she wasn't thinking about somebody else? This was so long ago. Could she have been confused? And so these are all the questions that a prosecutor would hope that a defense attorney would not successfully bring up. And so in Maryland, there is no statute of limitations when it comes to felony sexual assault. You could have the district attorney looking into this, but I don't think that's where this is going. I think this is going to, as the caller said, really the court of public opinion. And what we have heard the Republican senators say and what we've heard the White House administration say is, sure, we'll hear from the alleged victim, but there's a mountain of other evidence. And we keep hearing that phrase as a way to minimize the allegations. There's a mountain of other evidence with respect to Judge Kavanaugh and his treatment of women. And this is wholly outside his character. Now, the second issue that the callers talked about is this issue of potential perjury or misleading statements to Congress. And that's come up, one, if he is explicitly saying, I absolutely didn't do this, and he did, which again will be difficult to prove, then yes, that is making a false or misleading statement, or if it's made under oath, it's perjury. But then there were also the perjury allegations from last week that we had talked about with respect to, for instance, he said, I wasn't involved in X nomination, or I didn't obtain any memos that were stolen by Democratic or Republican staffers. And so those allegations, I think, largely do not rise to the level of perjury.
I'm going to read a comment from a listener named Kim who says, fact, she contacted the Washington Post tip line before Kavanaugh was nominated when he was named to the list of Trump's top picks. Fact, she has passed a lie detector test. Fact, she has released notes from her therapy sessions from several years ago in which she spoke of the attack and its impact on her. Fact, she has nothing to gain and everything to lose by coming forward. Let me bring more of our callers on, and let's go next to Alameda and welcome Lydia. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm a therapist in Alameda, and I'm just concerned once again with this narrative that I hear where the victim is put on the back seat and the back burner. And while, yes, we talk about a hearing happening with witnesses, which I think is important, also in the same sentence almost, do I hear, and he's still going to get nominated. So I'm concerned about the message that this gives to young girls. I have a 13-year-old daughter. What message does this give to young girls, knowing that this man may be nominated even when this happened? I don't care if it happened 100 years ago. It was a violent act, and if the truth comes out that it did happen, which it seems like it did, what message does that give if he's nominated? So this narrative that the victim, once again, is put on the back burner is very disturbing to me.
It's disturbing not only the message it could send to young girls, but obviously to young boys as well, that they can get away with that sort of activity despite the years that go by. Rick says Ford is a vehicle being used to extinguish Kavanaugh's amazingly successful career. She might be a hero of the left, but how pathetic. He said, she said, no goodwill comes from this. Maybe a more conservative person will be appointed and confirmed over Democrat resistance. And Darrow says, Grassley is so obviously not being fair, but I think Flake and Collins are taking this seriously. I was almost inadvertently drowned by a drunk who was joking around to impress his friends when I was a teenager, and the thought still terrifies me. Let me get some more of our callers on here, and let's go next to you. Deborah, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just think it's very interesting that Trump and his administration, especially his spokesperson, Kellyanne Conway, are so muted and restrained. I think the Me Too movement has really made an impression on this particular situation, and they are walking very carefully. I'm glad to see that, because for once that blowhard is being restrained, I wonder who's telling him, you know, maybe his daughter Ivanka is telling him to cool his jets.
Maybe,
you know?
More likely Don McGahn and company would be my guess.
Yeah,
he hasn't listened to his daughter in many other episodes, but I thank you for that call, Deborah. And let me bring on one more caller here from, it's Shashila. Do I have your name pronounced right? Shashila?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
My question is, why do we bring people who are being accused of sexual assault to high offices, including President Trump and Justice Kavanaugh? Don't we have anything better to do than discussing this with high elected officials, than thinking about the country's progress, where we need improvements in a lot of other areas, including technology and poor people suffering all the world?
Well, you're raising a question. Let me go to you, Professor Levinson, on this. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about how this is distracting us, possibly that is particularly distracting us from more important issues. But this is an important issue. It's quite significant in many ways.
It's hard to think of more vital issues in the sense that, one, I do think it's incredibly important who is on the Supreme Court, and I do think it's important what their character is. And it's important who's on the Supreme Court with respect to basically every issue that voters tend to care about, but not necessarily link to the Supreme Court. If you care about criminal justice, if you care about environmental protections, if you care about First Amendment rights, if you care about money in politics, if you care about voting rights, if you care about rights to privacy, including reproductive rights, all of these issues are very likely to be decided by the Supreme Court in the next few years. And so there are a few things that I think are more important for us to spend our public discussion on than who will be the next Supreme Court nominee. Now, I know in this case we're talking about sexual assault allegations, but again, I do think that it's fair to say if you committed a sexual assault, even if it was years and years ago, then we've decided as a society that that is disqualifying from serving on the world's highest court as one of the most important and powerful jurists in our entire country. And so I think that this is a vitally important discussion for that reason, and because it's important for people to see that our representatives take these allegations seriously.
Let me read a comment here from a listener. Actually, it's a question from Robert, who says, why not have Mark Judge testify? What is their justification limiting to two witnesses? Professor Levinson?
Well, I think that you obviously determining the parameters of who can testify and determining the parameters of the questioning will help to, frankly, determine the winner and loser of the hearing. But why not let Mark Judge testify? I would say that I think that once you open up the questioning beyond the two individuals and you go one more person down the line, then you need to ensure that both sides have, for instance, one more witness that they can call. And then maybe it becomes one more witness. But I think it could make all the sense in the world to hear from Mark Judge.
Jessica Levinson, thank you so much for joining us on this morning's forum. Appreciate having you with us.
Thank you.
And that's Professor Jessica Levinson. She's professor of law at Loyola Law School. And we're going to shift gears. Another half-hour segment coming up. We're going to talk about the Millennium Towers get close to home here. Crack window with more questions about that ahead.